Discover the wonders of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatam al nabiyyin. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our program Islam and Science, the program in which we discuss about scientific facts which have already been mentioned in the Quran, which allude to the fact, which signify that there is a creator. There is one creator who indeed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has mentioned these facts in the Quran and the book of Allah, which is there for us to ponder upon, to contemplate, to delve into, to reflect upon, and to understand and comprehend the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, in our last few episodes, since our last few episodes, we've been talking about the very important subject, the very important topic of the very initial stage of the human being, the existence of the human being, which is known as the formation of the human being, the embryology, with the scientific name, which we know it as embryology. So we've been talking about embryology from scientific perspective as well as from the perspective of Quran, how the Quran mentions about embryology and the human developmental process that the science has unlocked after so much advancement and progression and so much technological advancements, where science is mentioning about this process today. The Quran had already unlocked this very fact more than 1400 years ago. Alhamdulillah. As always, we have our brother Rizwan Rashid Attari with us in our panel, in our program. We welcome you, Rizwan, once again. Jazakallah for sparing your time once again. And dear viewers, mashallah, Rizwan Bhai has been taking us on this journey from last couple of weeks, where he's been shedding light on the formation stages of the human, how the human is formed and how the Quran actually mentions about it. So without any further ado, dear viewers, we'll go to Rizwan Bhai and we'll further ask him to take us on this journey where you started from, Rizwan Bhai, in the discussion from very first stage, the Nutfa stage, which is mentioned in the Quran, and of course the science is also talking about today, that how the human developmental process actually gets initiated. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this very phase, and alhamdulillah, the verse number 13 and 14 of Surah Mu'minun, which very beautifully describe this entire process, step by step, how the human developmental process actually takes place. So first it talks about nutfa, then alaqa, then alaqa turns into mudghada, then that goes into idama, then lahm. So these are the stages which the Quran talks about. So congealed blood, and then lump of flesh, then flesh into bones, and then bones are covered with flesh. So these are the stages which science even talks about today, that these are the stages through which the human developmental process actually goes. And the Quran again mentions beautifully in the sequence how this process takes place. Right from sperm. So the first stage, the sperm stage, the nutfa stage, you've already shed light upon it. Now, in last episode, we started discussing about alaqa, the very next stage, which is the lump of flesh. The very next stage, which is formed.
Congealed blood.
Congealed blood. Yeah. Where?
Blood clot kind of.
So this very stage, we came up to alaqa. And last episode, you touched upon the literal definition of alaqa, that what linguists, they define alaqa as from linguistic perspective. And you, mashallah, mentioned three meanings of it. And then in the light of each meaning, we were trying to define this very term and how it beautifully fits into every single definition of those three expressions. So where we left from last episode, I would request you, if you could kindly resume from the same very place where we talked about the three definitions of alaqa. And then, inshallah, we'll proceed further.
Jazakallah, first of all, Wasim Vazbeek, for having me in this program. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For having the blessing of Quran, I would like to just mention this very verse which we have been discussing for the past few episodes, because the actual the foundation what we're trying to establish that comes from this very beautiful verse of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, for those viewers they have joined us today, it is mentioned the human development process. This has been described in this very verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين.
سبحان الله.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we made the droplet into congealed blood.
Right.
Then we made the congealed blood into a lump of flesh. Then we made the lump of flesh into bones. Then we covered the bones with flesh. And then we made him in a different form. So Allah is the possessor of infinite blessings, the best creator. Now, Wasim Basbi, last week what I was just explaining to the viewers of Madani channel, that linguistics, they have given the word alaq three different meanings, right? According to Arabic definitions. The very first meaning which the dictionaries, they mention, is attached and hanging to something.
Right.
One of the meanings of alaqa, which Quran mentions, the second stage of human development after nutfa is alaqa. So when you look at the literal meaning of this word, so one of the meanings which is mentioned is attached to something or suspended something, hanging to something, in other words. And the second meaning to the same word which is described by the linguists is blood clot. And then is one of the very interesting meaning which has been referred alaqa to is leech.
Right.
So how these all meanings fit into exactly what is being described by the Quran.
Just before you go into the more detail over here, Rizwan Bhai, from the perspective of the viewers of Madani channel, again, this is very, very interesting. In terms of when you look at all these three definitions, all three of them are very different to each other. Leech, blood clot, and something suspended. So this is very, very interesting in terms of one thing having three different meanings from literal perspective, but how beautifully do they correlate together from scientific perspective and how the Quran has mentioned it. So this would be very interesting for the viewers of Madani channel.
No doubt at all. If we talk about the very first meaning, which means that something which is attached, hanging to something.
Right.
So it is mentioned that the embryo is attached to the placenta, okay, and is hanging or suspended in the chorionic cavity by the connecting stalk.
SubhanAllah.
Now, if I could show some of the figures to the viewers of Madani channel, I'm not sure if it would be visible here. You could see that it looks like something is hanging and suspended, right? And this is the stage of the embryo at 14 days.
But as you were mentioning this, Rizwan, with the definition you mentioned of the embryo hanging suspended, this is scientific definition. And the earlier definition which you mentioned, the first stage which you're talking about, this is something suspended or hanging. That is one of the literal meanings of the Arabic term which is mentioned in the Quran.
Absolutely right.
SubhanAllah.
So this is what I'm trying to explain, that the if you look at the 14 days of embryo,
right,
so you would see that something suspended, you could see in that.
Right.
Very
so the embryo would seem as if it's suspending or it's suspended and or hanging
to the placenta.
To the placenta, right?
This is what we can understand. It is in the agreement, as you said, with the definition of alaqa as being something which is attached and hanging to something. So this is one of the definitions when embryo is 14 days of the age. Now if we talk further about the 21 days embryo, when this embryo becomes 21 days old, now what happens then? It is mentioned during this stage, we find that external appearance of the embryo and its sex is similar to the to that of the blood clot.
Subhanallah.
Because
Subhanallah.
Second meaning what we saw was
blood
clot. So this is saying that the external appearance of embryo looks like of a blood clot. So this is Subhanallah when it is 21 days old, the embryo.
Amazing.
And the blood through fluid does not circulate until the end of the third week. This is a very interesting piece of information for the viewers. On the 21st day, the heart of the embryo connects with the blood vessels in the embryo.
Right.
The connecting stalk, the chorionic and the vessels, right? And the blood starts to circulate and the heart begins to beat.
Subhanallah.
Right?
Subhanallah.
Thus, the embryo takes the appearance of a blood clot even though its blood is fluid. So this is the what we understand right at the stage of 21 days. The second meaning of alaqa being a blood clot, that's how the embryo looks like at the age of 21 days. Now the third meaning, Wasim Abbas Bhai, which the linguistics they have mentioned of alaqa being leech. Now this is a worm, right? So what? How does it fit?
It keeps surprising a layman's mind. As in, you know, something suspended, blood clot, leech. All these things are completely and totally different in nature, in shape, and in every form.
No doubt.
You know, but all together, how the embryo is being formed and how different shapes is taking, it fits the meanings of alaqa, one word in Arabic.
Now, first of all, the scholars, linguistics and dictionaries have all mentioned one of the meanings of alaqa as a leech.
Right.
This is very interesting because we are describing something. First, we have to establish that what Arabic dictionaries they talk, what linguistics they say about the meaning of alaqa that Quran mentions, and what the scholars they've mentioned. So one of the meanings they have mentioned is as a leech, the alaqa. Now, the 14th century dictionary, Lisanul Arab, it's a very famous dictionary, Arabic dictionary, that alaqa refers to a worm living in the water that sucks blood.
Right.
That's how it describes. The plural of which is alaq. And the dictionary Al-Qamus, right, that alaq is small creature of water that sucks blood, a leech. So that clearly mentioned this is kind of creature which is known as alaq. Now, if we look at the classical Quranic commentator Ibn Kathir, right, mentions the meaning of elongated like the shape of a leech. He is also referred Ibn Kathir to this meaning, right? So we understand that this is how it is referred, the word meaning alaqa as a leech.
So this is from linguistic perspective. We have so far covered.
And now, inshallah, we'll try to figure out how does the embryo looks like when it is of different stages, when it is of different age groups. So how does it look like? The embryo 24 to 25 days, okay, it looks like completely,
like
if you can see, leech. The figure of this embryo is exactly like a leech. Now, there are some characteristics of leech. Right, and they also fit in the same meaning. This is interesting.
It's unbelievable.
It's not just
isn't
the
it?
Figure; it looks like that.
It's unbelievable.
But the characteristics of a leech, okay, and they are also similar to that embryo. Okay, now what is that?
At the age of 24 days, we're talking about.
Now look at this in the television series: A Human Body, Incredible Journey from Birth to Death. Mm-hmm. Professor Robert Winston, right, who also describes the embryo in the similar way. So Professor Winston demonstrated how the embryo obtains nourishment from the blood of the mother by comparing it with a leech,
Subhanallah,
which feeds on the blood of others. Now, leech also feeds on the blood of others. it sucks the blood. If you put a leech on your body, it will start sucking the blood. So embryo also feeds on the blood of the mother.
Subhanallah.
So the characteristics of the leech and the characteristics of the
embryo that is embryo, shaped as leech.
That shape as a leech, it also has the same way of sucking the
blood. It's unbelievable.
It feeds on mothers. And this is not something Islamic perspective. This is a scientist who was showing this on channel where he explained this, right? And this is what we understand here, right? And then we understand further the segmented body like a leech. So this is what we have understood so far, that this shape is of a leech. Its characteristics are also of a leech. Then further we understand that the leech has got a segmented body.
Right.
Right? It has got the body which is segmented, mm-hmm. right? And if you look at the shape of the embryo, it is also segmented.
Allah.
Subhanallah. Allah. At different stages, okay? And if I could show the viewers of Madani Channel some of the, you see, embryo and how, you could see this. I don't know if the cameras could cover this, but you can see these are the segments, internal structure, outer structure. Not only outer structure, but internal structure, which is segmented, okay, that also resembles that of leech. So if Quran is saying, referring a word alaqa, which is befitting exactly the meaning of the leech, which scientists are also resembling and giving the example, okay, with the same worm-like structure, leech, and they're explaining. This human development stage was explained 1400 years ago by Quran, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, right? Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, subhanallah, how fascinating it is, how amazing it is to cover these very facts, as mashallah, Brother Rizwan has just explained us very beautifully.
Now, Wasim bhai, I would like to just summarize what I've just said for the viewers, inshallah. Then you can just explain. The external shape of the leech resembles an embryo at 22 to 25 days, mm-hmm. right? And then the internal structure of the leech resembles an embryo of 22 to 26 days.
Spreading.
Okay? The external structure that resembles to the leech mm-hmm. in these days. And then later on, the internal structure also resembles to that of the leech.
Spreading.
Okay? Which is alaqa. In other words, the Quran mentions, the embryo clings to the lining of the uterus in a similar way to a leech that clings to the skin.
Subhanallah.
The embryo obtains nourishment from the blood of the mother, right? Like the leech which feeds on the blood of others.
Allah.
Subhanallah. The embryo has a segmented body like a womb or leech.
Amazing.
The early embryo further resembles a leech in that it has a tube-like gut running from one end to the other.
Subhanallah. Okay. Subhanallah.
So these all similarities cannot be just a coincidence.
Indeed.
Isn't it?
Indeed.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, fatabarakallah, ahsanul
khaliqin. Subhanallah.
The creator, he mentioned how he created, okay, right from the sperm, nutfa, and then the stage of alaqa, okay?
Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, how exactly science today is endorsing the human development stages, and they were mentioned 1400 years ago in the Quran by our Lord Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
subhanallah,
through the tongue of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah, amazing this one, amazing, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Very beautifully, alhamdulillah, we've been explained regarding the alaqa stage, the second stage of the human developmental process, and how beautifully it has been defined into three different meanings, literally. And then the amazing and fascinating fact for me personally, Rizwan bhai, is the element of their linguistic interpretation.
Yeah.
And then also the characteristic-wise, the qualities that they possess, how beautifully they are in line with their linguistic interpretations. As in having something defined from physical appearance is one thing, but if that very thing also have the qualities of the things to which it is being ascribed to or defined as, that is something amazing. And all three definitions that you mentioned that we started in our last episode, and we talked about it being into a blood clot, or it being into something suspended, or it being in a shape of a leech. Subhanallah, every single thing, not only from a linguistic perspective, but also characteristic-wise, it perfectly fits into the definition of all these definitions. And this again takes us to one conclusion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ahsanul Khaliqeen, the best of the creators. We were talking about the three linguistic meanings of the term alaqa, the second stage of human developmental process, that what the linguists have defined the word alaqa as. And we came to know that the three meanings that the word alaqa has, and how the science today beautifully coincides with the meanings of the word alaqa, which were defined by the linguists many centuries ago, and this appeared in the Quran more than 1400 years ago. One meaning was something that is suspended, that is hanging or attached. Other was blood clot and leech. And mashallah, Brother Rizwan beautifully explained that science today proves that at the age of 14 days, 21 days, and then 24 days or something like that, the embryo forms into something which is which forms as something which is hanging or suspended, then into a blood clot, and then leech. And not only physically, in physical appearance, they seem as these definitions, but also characteristic-wise, they also reflect the same. Subhanallah. This is the majesty and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only the Creator can define it in such minute details and fine details at the time when the human did not have such advancements of technology which they have today. Subhanallah. And no doubt, dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of the creators. So this, dear viewers, takes us to our second segment of the program, which is medical science and Islam. Let's go to this segment, and then inshallah azzawajal, we will discuss further on this topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome to our segment, Medical Science and Islam. Today, we will learn something about the lower back pain. Lower back pain is a very common condition, and about 80 to 90% of the population will get lower back pain in their lifetime. And more than 90% of that settle on its own without any major intervention. So what are the risk factors involved? One of the risk factors is obesity, smoking, and gender. There are several other risk factors as well. Risk of prolonged sitting, risk of vibration, and obviously lifting heavy objects. And the causes of back pain, there are several causes. It can be a musculogenic, it can be discogenic, it can be purely mechanical back pain, and it can be a referred pain. And how do we treat these? Interestingly, there was a study done in University of New York, published in 2017, which showed that if you are involved in complex physical exercises, particularly they researched on the Muslim prayers, that if someone do those prayers regularly and properly, the incidence of lower back pain reduces significantly. The reason I'm telling you this, Islamic brothers, is all these studies clearly shows that we need to do our five times salah properly and regularly, and we will get the benefits of that, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear viewers, we've heard from a medical professional that regarding lower back pain today, and we've also heard about a very beautiful solution that was given by the scientist as well regarding the postures that we adopt during offering salah. That if we adopt to those postures properly during Salah, then inshallah azzawajal, these issues, these complaints of lower back pain would also be resolved. Rizwan bhai, we were talking about lower back pain and how important the back is for us, especially lower back, the anatomy behind it, the creation of it, the functionality of it, the importance of it in the human body, how important it is. And due to various factors, we see a rising complaint, especially in our community, where people have this complaint of pain in their lower back.
You mentioned that there's a high percentage, about 80 to 90 people, they definitely have this pain in their lifetime. But most of the people, they do not have the severe category of the pain.
Yeah.
If you, they end up having.
Of course. And then when we're talking about the lower back pain, in terms of the severity of it, of course, yes, that's one thing where we come to know that 80 to 90% of people, they get this pain once in their lifetime. And majority of times it is resolved without any thorough and big medical treatment. But at the same time, there's one where we also come to know that the importance it has, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has formed it, when we delve into the anatomy of it, the functionality and the development of the back, lower back, how it functions entirely, and then the remedy to it has also been given to us.
SubhanAllah.
Those who offer 5 times daily salah, those who bow down in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times in the day, those who offer tahajjud salah, those who are used to perform ruku and sujood properly, in the hindsight, they're also exercising their lower back. And these are those postures which are given by the physiotherapists and other professionals for the patients of lower back pain. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us the remedy in the finest form of worship, the most important form of worship, salah.
Wasim, I would like to just touch upon here the fact what Dr. was also mentioning that regarding, but the important point what we understand when you look in deep into the functionality of our body structures, the skeleton, how does it work? It balances our head, right? It holds our weight. Our complete body is based on our spinal system,
spinal cord
and all those joints, the way they have been, I see, joined to each other, the discs one on top of the other, and how they've got the cushions in between, each and every detail what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. When we look at this, then you understand the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the connection of the nerve system, okay, which gets the message from the brain, and then it travels to your body, subhanallah. And the spinal cord plays a vital role in that. And I remember one of our relatives, he had an accident. Right from his neck, he had his spinal cord damaged. Right? And because of that, his lower body completely got paralyzed. The reason the brain was functioning, he can listen, he can understand, he can talk, everything, but his body cannot function. His body cannot move. He is paralyzed right from there. And it has been many, many, many years. Probably more than 30 years, he's still alive. But he's on the bed, paralyzed. The reason is because the connection between the brain, the messages, because brain orders our body to move, and that has been disconnected. That connection has been disconnected and his whole body is paralyzed. Now, can you imagine the takhliq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how important this is?
Now you see, on the same point, it says that your spinal cord originates in your brain. So our understanding is that it's starting from the back, but it originates in the brain, travels through the spine and terminates in the upper region of the lower back. This is where, from where the spinal nerves, they descend down further into our bodies. So starting from the brain, going all the way to the upper lower back, and from there, the nerves, they go into the legs and further down.
complete this communication system gets disturbed, okay, from that point where this gets disconnected. So this tells us the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of that. And further, Waseem Basmi, look at, okay, we will talk about the joints of our backbone, okay, and how flexible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Okay, we can bend, okay, we can get up, we can become straight,
okay, body twisted.
Wherever we can twist our body, we can move around, subhanallah. This is the quality. If it was just straight, we could not bend, okay, we couldn't get down, we couldn't hold things.
And for this purpose, the spinal cord right at the end, at the lower back, is slightly curved,
subhanallah.
And that curve helps as maneuver our bodies and twist our bodies. And then again, the point you mentioned earlier, that it carries the burden of our head and our upper body.
Yeah. It balances our head.
It balances our head. Now the weight of the cord itself, how much is it?
Allahu Akbar.
But what a vital role is playing in balancing our weight, in controlling our weight, in controlling our maneuverability, and taking messages from the brain all the way to our...
So we should also look after it. I would like to give this example of this finger.
Ji.
Joints, right? And these joints, if this finger did not have these three joints, how tough life would have been.
Allah.
Okay, we will talk about further, inshallah, about the backbone. But look at these fingers and these joints. Okay, how flexible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was just like this, straight hand like this,
Allah.
What would be the life? Can you just imagine? Just tape your hand one day in a straight hand.
We won't even be able to hold a glass or
something, isn't it? This, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these fine details what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created. Okay, this tells there is a creator. Okay, this, there is an engineering. There is a beautiful functionality behind each and everything. And that's how the design of our backbone and how it functions and how it helps us to move, the flexibility it contains. Then again, you say that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the best creator and He is ahsanul khaliqin. One more point I would like to bring the attention of the viewers about this. If you get a back pain, it is one of the most severe scratching, shooting pains one can ever get.
Indeed.
Because I had personal this experience, right?
And you're amongst those 80-90%
people. Yes, no doubt. So it is very, very, very shooting pain. Sometimes at one stage you are unable to bear. But when you have this problem, then again it reminds you the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right?
Subhanallah.
How important this life, this the wealth of health is. Then only you realize, you see, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had not created pain, how would we understand what is comfort? If there was no darkness, how would we understand what is light? So there is a reason behind everything. So when we get a pain, when we have a suffering, right, whether it's a mental suffering, anxiety, depression, problems, pain, suffering in our life, there is a reason. And the pain is inevitable in our life. The sufferings Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam went through, who is the Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Ayyub ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Okay, the pain, the more closer somebody is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. See? And this is how we look at the year Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam spent. It is known as the year of pain or discomfort or grief. So it tells us that there is a reason behind it. Okay, sometimes this pain what we go through, okay, it helps us to get our sins removed. Isn't it? And it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in summary, that even thorn, if it you get it hurt by a thorn, your sins will be expiated or removed because of that. So this is the reason what we can understand. And again, if we have ever experienced pain in our life, so we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember one brother who had a pain, then he realized that what is the importance of sajda.
Allah.
He says that I wish.
Was it because he couldn't do sajda
anymore? Yeah, he couldn't do sajda anymore because of his back problem. Allah. And then he says that I wish I could perform sajda. I could go down and prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How important for us is those that have got back, all fine back, okay, healthy back, okay, but yet they do not perform sajda. They can prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should be worried before it is too late. and they are unable to perform even sajda. There are people.
This also takes us to the point, Rizwan, where, you know, how ungrateful we are for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As when I was going through this very subject, you see our lower back, we were talking about the spinal cord, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has formulated all this for us, for our convenience. There are discs in there, there are joints in there, there are nerves in there. So all
the cushions inside,
the discs, they serve as cushions. They serve as shock absorbing functionality.
Yeah.
This is the
protection.
These are the discs. Then after discs, they're small joints. Then after joints, they're nerves. These are those minute details in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has formed us. And then the other side of things, where how to look after it.
Yeah.
So, of course, we should look after it. We should do the exercises that are required for it, of course, with the intention of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, Allah Almighty has created us. He has also told a solution for it.
Yeah.
Now, those people who are habitual in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who truly submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do they also face these kind of physical issues? As when we were listening to the medical professional, Brother Rizwan, who was mentioning it, obesity is also one of the causes for this.
Yeah.
How does this happen when we eat more than required? And again, those who submit themselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they control their hunger.
Mm-hmm.
They eat less than what they desire. So all this, Rizwan, we again, subhanAllah, takes us back to reflect upon ourselves, that we should appreciate and value these blessings, the blessing of health.
There's a hadith, value your health before illness.
Indeed, and this is our final segment of the program, as we'll talk about this. But dear viewers of Madani Channel, we've heard about lower back pain, that what are the causes for it, and what beautiful solution Islam gives us for it as well, that not only we will be fulfilling our obligation, one of the fard, which is one of the most important forms of worship, but in the hindsight, at the same time, we would
hidden
also
wisdom,
be,
subhanAllah,
hidden wisdom, we'll be also remedying ourselves, we will also be curing ourselves. With this, we should look after ourselves. May Allah Almighty also alleviate all pains of everyone, and may Allah Almighty also allow us to look after ourselves, look after our health, look after our back, these precious blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. With this, dear viewers, now is the time for our third segment of the day, which is signs for people. So let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
So dear viewers, in today's segment of signs for people, we'll be talking about one verse of the Quran as we normally do, and then we very quickly go through it and look into the message or signs that we have in it for us to ponder upon. So today we've chosen verse number 44 of Surah An-Nahl, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the translation is, that we send them with clear evidences and books. And dear beloved Prophet, we revealed this Quran to you that you may clearly relate to the people what was revealed to them, and that they may contemplate. So dear viewers, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the mankind one wisdom of revealing the Quran, which is to contemplate, which is to ponder upon the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one way, normally we pick up a certain sign within the Quran, which is mentioned, but today I've specifically chosen this verse. Why? As in this verse, one wisdom of revealing the Quran has been mentioned, in which the wisdom has been mentioned, and it has also been mentioned that this is one of the signs, and the reason for it is to contemplate upon the verses of Quran, upon the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just recite the verse of the Quran once again, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bil bayyinati wa zubur, wa anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyana linnasi ma nuzzila ilayhim wa la'allahum yatafakkaroon. Verse number 44 of Surah An-Nahl. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the Quran itself as the sign. Yeah. And for us to understand that when we are talking about various signs in the universe and other things, at the same time, the greatest sign for us is
living
the Quran.
Miracle is Quran.
Living miracle is the Quran. And contemplating the Quran, pondering upon the Quran, reflecting upon the Quran is a worship of highest degree. A practicing scholar is superior to a qari of the Quran. Someone who acts upon the Quran is superior
to
a qari. So there are many, many other reasons as well for which we should take the Quran as sign itself, the greatest sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the signs that we're talking about, the first segment of ours was revolving around one of the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This our entire program is regarding the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are derived from the Holy Quran.
But I think what we are doing in this program is actually following this verse of the Holy Quran.
Indeed.
Because we are diving down deep in the meanings of the Quran and how Quran has asked us to contemplate.
Indeed.
Okay, as being one of the biggest signs of Allah
Definitely.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at today, in this day and age, the science is endorsing those facts, okay, which were mentioned 1400 years ago. This tells the truth of Quran. Yes. This tells the truth of Quran, subhanAllah, which is being endorsed by the science in this day and age.
SubhanAllah, indeed, is one way. And dear viewers, with this verse, again, it is time for us where we need to turn towards Quran, take Quran as a sign, delve into it, understand the message of Quran, and inshaAllah, many, many, many wisdoms will be unlocked for us. Now, dear viewers, it is a time for our fourth and last segment of the day, which is value health before illness. Let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
Dear viewers, in today's segment of value health before illness, we will discuss about a very deadly disease, which is cancer. Rizwanbhai, cancer, a very fatal disease, very deadly disease, and something that we should have awareness about,
yes.
Something that we should learn about, and we should try to have those means employed for ourselves, those means which we can use to protect ourselves against cancer. Now, cancer, Rizwanbhai, is an illness that causes the cells of the body to grow and spread in an uncontrolled way. So there are 100 million cells in the body. And now it causes the cells of the body to grow and spread in an uncontrolled way. So the good cells, the bad cells. And bad cells, they grow so much that they overcome the good cells in the body and ultimately turns into cancer. And it is a fatal illness. And there are approximately over 200 types of cancer.
Allah. The different causes.
Indeed, different causes. And the cause of each of them is, of course, different. And some types of cancers, they spread very quickly through the entire body via the bloodstream.
I would like to just add one point here, just reflecting upon this definition of the cancer you've just mentioned. Look at something which is uncontrolled. Okay, so if you look at the reciprocal meaning of this, okay, when this illness wasn't there, our body had a controlled multiplication of cells, cell division and everything. Okay, that was being happening in a controlled way. Who is doing it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed.
Should we not be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our body is functioning well, each and everything is functioning well, and in hundreds of millions of cells, only a few can become can behave differently and they can become uncontrollable to grow, and that growth can just become widespread and that can destroy our whole body.
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
And should not we be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
More than 200 types of cancers. There's lung cancer, there's prostate cancer, there's pancreas cancer.
And this is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed.
Okay, we are fine. Again, this is because of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should be thankful to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the health He has given us.
Indeed.
Okay, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wills, then within seconds, you see, something. You see,
Indeed.
I know many people, they did not have no signs of cancer. whatsoever. They were fine. Everything was fine.
And all of a sudden,
within few days,
they were diagnosed with
They were diagnosed, and within few months, they left this mortal world.
Indeed. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very quickly, some medical precautions which they mention regarding this. It is stated that we should stay away from tobacco. It also includes chewable tobacco as well. Maintain healthy weight, exercise, and eat healthy food, and avoid eating greasy and salty foods. Eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Make a habit of walking, and go for regular inspections and screening tests for cancer. So these are a few things that we should try to implement within our nature. We should get used to it. We should have healthy diet. We should avoid non-healthy foods. And exercise is very important as one way, where we should at least have some kind of mindset to walk at least an hour a day. And whilst we're walking, we can perform our awrad. We can recite salat upon the Prophet
Islam
whilst walking.
Islam is encouraged us to pray salah in masjid.
Subhanallah.
And when we walk to the masjid, and every step Islam has given us good deeds.
Subhanallah.
This is an encouragement to walk towards the masjid.
Indeed.
It is another way of healthy style.
Indeed.
And then look at the rakat we offer in our salahs. In the morning, 4 rakat. In the Zuhr salah, we offer 12. And then there are 8 in Asr. And then in Maghrib, we've got 7. And then in Isha, when we have to sleep, right? And then we need a digestion of the food, we've got 17 rakat salah. And when we read these all salahs, an additional nawafil which we offer, also offer, it's a complete exercise.
And every joint of ours is being used.
Alhamdulillah, is being used. If we follow Islam, truly, to be honest with you, the problems of our health and other issues, you see, and especially the stress and all other issues, alhamdulillah, will be resolved.
Inshallah, subhanAllah. Jazakallah, Rizwan, for your precious time, for your beautiful knowledge that you've shared with us. And I'm sure that this would have inspired many views of Madani Channel, and it would have strengthened our faith further in the majesty and in the grandeur, in the omnipotence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was all for today. May Allah Almighty bless every single one of you, and make sure to stay attached and joined with Madani Channel and with your Dawat Islami. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Discover the wonders of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.